last time you read a really great novel or watched a really great movie? What made them so great? For some, maybe it was the good characters that were developed and interesting. Or perhaps it was a favorite actor or actress playing a role. Or maybe it was the setting, a favorite geographic location, or a favorite historic period. For most of us, what we like about our favorite TV and movies and books is the story, the unfolding of the events in the lives of the characters, the twists and turns of a plot, the drama and the tension as the conflict builds, leading up to the ultimate climax of the story. Good stories have a way of drawing us in, engrossing us in the characters and their actions, and they make us feel part of the story. We cheer for the good guys and boo the bad guys. Even formulaic genres draw us in. It's no real surprise how certain plots will resolve themselves. Romantic comedies, will the guy end up with a girl? Sci-fi, will the heroes of Earth successfully fight off alien attack? Or a murder mystery, the suspense that we have until we finally learn who done it? But these stories still draw us in. Stories also serve as more than just mere entertainment. Stories or narratives have been shared in every culture as a means of entertainment, but also education, cultural preservation, and to instill moral values. Aesop's fables share pithy moral truths in the form of stories. According to a recent article, human knowledge is based on stories, and the human brain consists of cognitive machinery necessary to understand, remember, and tell stories. Facts can be understood as smaller versions of a larger story. Thus, storytelling can supplement analytical thinking. Stories draw people in. We're more likely to remember information that we glean from a story than just hearing a random list of facts. Stories evoke empathy and encourage shared human experience. They foster analytic and creative thinking and problem solving. They're effective for both the listener and the storyteller. In telling the story, the teller becomes more aware of its meaning. Storytelling has been used for centuries, not just as a means of conveying information, but imparting morality and carrying on a cultural legacy. Storytelling is a hallmark of human activity. In the same article, it says, humans are storytelling organisms that both individually and socially lead storied lives. Stories mirror human thought as humans think in narrative stories and more often remember facts in story form. Human beings, in short, are wired for story. Think of the last time you had a conversation with someone and told them about your day. Usually we do it in the form of a narrative. We kind of tell a short story about our lives, about what happened in our daily life, or about a particular incident. We share naturally by way of story. And so there is a good reason why the infinite God of the universe is beyond human comprehension. When desiring to build a relationship with human beings, chose to reveal himself through a story. The Bible is the story of God and God's people. Though written over thousands of years, with multiple human authors, over many different periods of time and many different places, the Bible is, in a sense, one continuous story. As I've said, we're going to be starting a new study and sermon series on the story, the whole big picture of the Bible. The story, one continuous story of God and God's people. This is a book that was compiled by authors and pastors Max Licato and Randy Frazee, who took large parts of the Bible and kind of condensed them and put them in chronological order in a very readable format, so it almost feels like you're reading a novel or a really good book. It doesn't have a lot of the verse numbers or the notes, but it just kind of reads just like you'd naturally read a good book, a good story. This was designed to help Christians read and understand the big picture of the Bible. The Bible has many human authors over many cultural periods, but one story with one divine author, that is God. It's made up of 66 individual books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And we learn a lot about covenants. A covenant is a special relationship people made with each other and that God makes with particular individuals. So we have the Old Testament, or covenant, the story of God's creation and redemptive plan for the whole world through a special relationship with the people of Israel. And then the New Testament, or covenant, the story of God's redemptive plan carried on in the person and work of Jesus Christ in the early church. And although the Bible contains many individual stories about many people and their lives and different nations and groups and details, the Bible also contains an overarching story of God's love for humanity and his unfolding plan of redemption for humankind. You know how many TV programs will have backstories? The episode will be one main thing, but there'll be the backstories of the different characters. That's kind of a little bit what goes on with the Bible. There's one major overarching story of God's redemption, but it's played out in all the lives of the individual characters in the Bible. In this study, we'll learn about the upper and lower stories, this upper story being this big overarching picture of God's plan of redemption for humankind, and then the lower story or stories, which are all the individual characters and how they are involved in God's bigger plan. The Bible has many stories, but one main story about God's redemption for human beings. Now, why do we need this story? Why does God choose the Bible as the primary means of communicating himself with human beings? Well, we believe it's because we're hardwired for story, that when God wanted to communicate with us, he chose to do so in a story, in a way that we could relate to him and understand. A key aspect of Presbyterian doctrine is the centrality of God's word. It's part of our Reformed tradition, Reformed according to God's word. And so God's story is God's special revelation that helps us learn about him and know about him in a very unique personal way. Now, when we hear the term story, we might think of a fairy tale. But calling the Bible a story does not mean it doesn't contain truth. It contains ultimate truth for our faith and practice, though it must be interpreted in its proper historical context, and we must try to seek to understand it. But there is truth that it conveys. Scripture testifies. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. Ultimately, God's written word points us to the Word made flesh, Jesus the Christ, God's own Son, who was sent to redeem humanity once and for all from sin and death. The ultimate plot of the Bible reveals Jesus Christ and the redemption of humankind in Christ. As we read from the first chapter of John, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son." As you know, this summer we've been looking at the book of Ephesians. And as we transition from that series on Ephesians to a broader look at the Bible as a whole, we can see how the teaching Paul laid out over the course of his letter to the Ephesians conveys the key elements of God's story of redemption. He talks about the spiritual blessings we receive from God in Christ, how God created us and redeemed us in Christ. We've seen this dramatic before and after picture of ourselves before Christ, lost in sin, and then redeemed in Christ. We have the knowledge that God has taken down every barrier, that God will transcend different cultural backgrounds and barriers to reach people. And then the practical teaching on how we are to live in love and mutual submission to one another in Christ. This is how we carry on God's story. This is our part of continuing that story. When Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God in chapter 6, notice how the items that protect us spiritually are informed by God's word. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes fitted to proclaim the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, all of these are informed by God's word, by God's story. To protect ourselves spiritually, we need to know the truth and we need to understand God's story and our place in it. We need to know the gospel of peace so we can go forth and proclaim it and live it out, so we can understand the substance of our faith, our salvation. And this knowledge comes by God's word, by God's story, knowing it and living it out. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our understanding of God's word. Paul describes our spiritual weapons in chapter 6, verse 17, as the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Knowing the story of God's word prepares us so that we can face whatever we encounter in life, so that even when forces of evil come against us, we are assured of God's love and salvation in Christ. That's a rock-solid promise that we can build our lives upon, that sustains us when times are difficult. Paul reminds us that our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, verse 12. Knowing God's word gives us the foundation to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power, as Ephesians 6:10 commands. So how are we to understand the Bible as God's story? Well, I think scholar N.T. Wright gives us a helpful analogy. He describes the Bible as a five-act play. Act one is creation, God creating the world and human beings in God's own image. Act two is the fall, how human beings first disobeyed God and fell into sin, leading God to initiate a plan to redeem humanity from its lost state. Act three is the nation of Israel. God calls the people of Israel to be the agent through which God redeems the world. Israel struggles to fulfill this mission successfully, but God is faithful. And then Act four is Jesus. God sends the Son, Jesus the Christ, to redeem human beings through the cross and resurrection. And then Act 5 is the church, the beginning of the book of Acts and carrying through the New Testament. The church carries on the work of redemption in Christ, living out God's kingdom in the world. Of course, we too struggle to do this faithfully, but we keep striving in the power of the Spirit, keeping connected to God's word, trusting that God will ultimately bring about his redemptive purposes. The church today, including us, it's part of God's mission. We are writing the final act of the play. We are writing the final chapter of God's story. We have a part to play. The play will ultimately be completed when creation is fully healed and restored. But we get to do our part and our work right here and now. That's why it's important for us to know the story of the Bible, because it's our story. It's still continuing through us. We're still telling this story of redemption. Now let's be honest, many Christians, and I'm guessing some of you, find the Bible to be a little intimidating from time to time. After all, it's a long book, written in different cultural periods with complicated language and weird rules and just a lot of weird stuff that happens and we don't quite know what to do with it. We often read the Bible in bits and pieces, often staying with our favorite passages, but staying away from parts that seem a little too daunting. In order to understand God's purpose purposes and our purpose in God's story, we need to get, quote unquote, the whole story. And the goal with the story is to do just that. Over the next few months, we're going to be exploring the themes of the story, the whole Bible, looking at major passages that lay out the main overarching story of the Bible, the big picture view of God's plan. We'll be looking at major passages that'll also follow the liturgical calendar nicely. So as we're following the different seasons, those themes of Scripture will become meaningful to us. And if you want to go more in depth, I encourage you, again, shameless plug, to pick up a copy of the book and join us on Sunday mornings for discussion and more education about it so you can go even deeper with it and get a better understanding of God's story for yourself. The Bible, as we said, is not just God's story, it's our story. And we are part of God's continuing story of redemption in Christ. And learning about the story and reading it will help you find your part in the story. In the introduction to the story, Max Licato and Randy Frazee write, "This book tells the grandest, most compelling story of all time. The story of a true God who loves his children, who established for them a way of salvation and provided a route to eternity. The chapters reveal the God of grace, the God who speaks, the God who acts, the God who listens, the God whose love for his people culminated in his sacrifice of Jesus, his only son. What's more, the same God is alive and active today, and still listening, and still acting, and still pouring out his grace upon us. His grace extends to all our daily foibles, our ups and downs and in-betweens, our response to his call on our lives. He's the same God who forgave David's failures and rescued Jonah from the dark belly of a fish. The same Heavenly Father who shepherded the Israelites through the wilderness and desires to shepherd us through our wanderings, to help us get past our failures and prepare us for his kingdom. It's our prayer that these stories will encourage you to listen for God's call on your life as he helps you write your own story. The story has benefited many people, and many people have been impacted by it. There's a testimony from a woman named Vicky, a wife and mother of four and part-time physical therapist, who writes, "Like newborn babies, we grow to maturity one milestone at a time. I have walked through a lot of life. Our family has faced illness, death, loss, unemployment, betrayal, financial strain, and legal issues. I have come to realize that whatever affects eternity is the only thing worth pursuing. I believe that God's story is now able to shine brighter through my story, as I have found God's ultimate purpose for me. I know God mightily uses everyday people in everyday places, and that is just the message I want to pass on to as many people as I can. I would appreciate your prayers as I take steps toward learning the details of how God would have me further tell God's story." So we're all part of this grand story, the Bible. And of course, we come to the Bible with many questions, and sometimes we struggle with what we find in it. The Bible is a strange story at times, originally written in different times and places that contain images that we struggle to understand. We also know the Bible has often been used and abused to justify the horrendous, the oppressive, and the downright weird. Some folks use the Bible more like a blunt object with which to bludgeon people with whom they disagree, rather than a life-giving book that brings wisdom and guidance and healing. But despite its abuse and misuse from the past, the Bible is still our story, the story of the redemption of God's people. And so the Bible as God's story has value for us, the church, as we seek to read it and understand it and live it out, living out that redemptive message around us. Scholar N.T. Wright offers a plea to the church to let the Bible be the Bible, and so to let God be God. And so to enable the people of God to be the people of God, God's special people living under God's authority, bringing God's light into the world. The Bible is not an end in itself. It is there so that by its proper use, the Creator may be glorified and the creation may be healed. It is our task to be the people through which this extraordinary vision comes to pass. Wright concludes, we must determine, corporately as well as individually, to become, in a true sense, people of the book. People who are being remade, judged, and remolded by the Spirit through Scripture. Our task is to seize this privilege with both hands and to use it for the glory of God and the redemption of the world. So join me and let us all join together in learning about the story, going on this adventure. And through it, let us see how our stories are part of God's bigger story for all humanity and find our part in God's story. So, brothers and sisters, on this rally day, let the journey begin. Let us go deeper with God's story, and may God bless this message to our hearing. Amen.